On the one hand, what we're facing is the backsliding of funding commitments for HIV/AIDS in the developing world. For the past 10 years, the international community has been central to supporting the scale-up of HIV treatment in places like sub-Saharan Africa, and the international community has allowed 5 million people to be receiving treatment in just a short space of 7 or 8 years. And now that we've got these big programs established with many people on treatment and still some 10 million people waiting to get treatment, unfortunately, many donors upon which these programs are dependent are turning their backs on HIV treatment, partly for reasons of the economic crisis, but partly also because of political choices to fund other things instead. And it's leaving healthcare providers in Africa in a fix.
And what's the second blow?
The second blow is that at the same time, one of the other critical issues for scaling up HIV treatment has been assuring the most affordable, cheap medicines that are available worldwide can be used to run these programs. I started working in HIV care in Africa 12 years ago, and at that time, we could not treat HIV because the average treatment cost was around $10,000 per patient per year. But in 2001, an Indian generic manufacturer offered a price of $1 a day, and that really was at the very beginning of the global effort to start treating people with HIV/AIDS. The problem we face right now is there is legislation being passed by the European Union, and there are other trade agreements happening elsewhere that are really tightening up the patent rules that will limit countries' abilities in future to access these affordable sources of HIV treatment.
So you say you're faced with a funding shortfall, and now we're facing obstacles both in patent law and trade agreements. What do you do?
What we really need to make sure, for starters, is that the trade agreements that are currently being pushed through as policy at the European level are renegotiated with a view in mind to protect at all costs, first and foremost, the public health of people in developing countries. It's not too late. These negotiations are unfortunately intransparent. They're happening behind closed doors. The knowledge we have of the current harmful policies that are being proposed comes very much from inside information, and we're unable to get full copies of where we stand. So we need more transparency in the agreements, but we, more than that, we need health to take precedence in these agreements to make sure that this lifeline of affordable drugs coming principally from India is not shut down.